For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. House of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom, I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 11 of the series.
He's going to cause Jacob to return to the land. So in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3, For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they will possess it. And in speaking about that event, it's associated with Jeremiah 30, verse 7. That day is great. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. What time is the time of Jacob's trouble? The time that Israel and Judah returns to the land. That is the time of Jacob's trouble. And so we see that when Jacob returns to the land, this is called in the Bible Zion. Returning to the land is returning to Zion. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. The wound is the exile, and the healing of the wound is the end of the exile, because they called you an outcast. And so those who want to stand for the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those who do not want to see a Palestinian state, those who do not want to see the dividing of Jerusalem, they're called opponents of peace. They're called outcasts because they called you an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeks after. Now we're told in Psalm 102, verse 16, When the Lord will build up Zion, he will appear in his glory. Well, Zion and Jerusalem are synonymous terms. So the building up of Zion is synonymous with the building up of Jerusalem. And so when the Lord builds up Zion, or the Lord builds up Jerusalem, as it says in Psalm 147, verse 2, he builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. The building up of Jerusalem is gathering the exiles of Israel. So when the Lord gathers the exiles of Israel, he will appear in his glory. In Matthew chapter 24, when Yeshua was asked by his disciples on the Mount of Olives, what is going to be the sign of your coming? He ultimately tells them, you'll see the Son of Man coming with great power and great glory. So he's going to return in his glory when he gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel. So let's summarize the events associated with the greater Exodus, the end of the exile, the gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, which is linked or associated with the day of the Lord. That the day of the Lord is a term for the tribulation period. And in the day of the Lord, the land of Israel gets divided. In the day of the Lord, Jerusalem gets divided. And this will bring about the judgment of the nations for rejecting the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the kingship of the God of Israel over his creation. And in judging the nations, this will result in the fall of the end time daughter of Babylon, who I believe is the United States, but there's a Babylonian system, which is financial, it is governmental, and it is political, and it is religious. So you'll see the fall of these Babylonian systems. And while the nations are being judged and the Babylonian systems are falling, you're going to see the end of the exile of Jacob, or Ephraim and Judah will return to the land land of Israel. And so the end of the exile and the judgment of the nations is associated with an end time conflict between Jacob and Esau, which the Bible calls the controversy of Zion. And so what is the controversy of Zion? Well, we can define it this way. The controversy of Zion is a controversy over the people of the God of Israel who desire to follow the Torah of the God of Israel, and they believe in the covenant promise that was made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because it was Yeshua, the Messiah, who made covenant with Abraham, he will bring about and he will act on behalf of this covenant that he made with Abraham. So therefore, the Messiah fights for Zion. So now we can understand that the controversy of Zion entails a battle, a spiritual battle between Jacob and Esau. And in Genesis chapter 25, we see that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. But even though he sold his birthright to Jacob, he still wants to have the benefits of having that birthright. And so then with Esau trying to claim, as we're going to see from the scriptures, that the mountains of Israel or Judea Samaria, the world calls it the West Bank, belongs to him, that this is a land area that primarily encompasses the inheritance of the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, who were given the birthright blessing in Genesis chapter 48. So Esau is trying to claim the birthright, but Esau is also trying to claim rulership over Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the inheritance of Judah, who was given the kingship blessing in Genesis in chapter 49. So Esau wants the birthright from Joseph, and he wants the kingship from Judah. And so Esau is battling Joseph and Judah, and their conflict is going to bring in all nations. So we need to remember that in Genesis chapter 17, verse 8, that Yeshua, who made covenant with Abraham, that he promised Abraham and his descendants the land of Canaan, which we call Israel today. Genesis 17, verse 8, I will give unto you and your seed after you the land where you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So next, regarding the land that Yeshua promised Abraham, the land of Canaan, the instruction regarding land inheritance, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, is the land is not to be sold or given away forever. Leviticus 25, 23, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. You are strangers and sojourners with me. And so who's trying to claim that the mountains of Israel, Judea, Samaria, or the West Bank belongs to them is Esau, who in the Bible, Esau is called Edom. And Esau historically in the book of Genesis lived in an area known as Mount Seir. So Esau in the Bible is called Mount Seir. Ezekiel chapter 35 is a prophecy against Esau. And in verse 2, it says, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir. This would be Esau. And prophesy against him. Verse 3, and say, thus says the Lord God, O Mount Seir, I am against you. I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will make you most desolate. What's he against? Trying to claim the birthright and the kingship from Jacob when these things was given to the house of Jacob. So we can see the alternative names for Esau. Genesis 36 verse 8, it says, thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Esau, Edom, Mount Seir. Synonymous terms. So then in the prophecy regarding Esau in Ezekiel chapter 35 verse 5, it says the following, because you have a perpetual hatred and you've shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword. So what do we call the shedding of the blood of the children of Israel? We call it homicide or suicide bombings. And they do it by the force of the sword. And it's happening in the time of their calamity. The time of their calamity is a term for Jacob's trouble. And it's happening in the time that their iniquity has an end. What's the iniquity? Breaking the covenant. What's the punishment of the iniquity? To be scattered in the nations of the world. So what's the end of the iniquity? It's the end of the exile. So the prophecy is that Esau would be shedding the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword at the time that it is designated for Jacob's exile to be over in the 12 tribes to return to the land in fulfillment of the prophecy. prophecy of Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28. Now, the book of Obadiah, which is one chapter, one book of the Bible, it's written as a prophecy against Esau in the end of days, in the day of the Lord. And in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 10, regarding Esau, it says, "For your violence against your brother Jacob, shame will cover you, and you will be cut off forever." Now, the word that's translated as violence is the Strong's number 2555 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary, and the Hebrew word is Hamas. And one of the factions of the PLO is called Hamas, for the violence against your brother Jacob. Now, in the Art Scroll, which is an Orthodox Jewish published commentary on the scriptures to the book of Ezekiel, or Yehezekiel in Hebrew, on page 547, commenting to Ezekiel chapter 35 and verse 14, which says, "Thus is the Lord, when the whole world rejoices, I will make you, Esau, desolate." And so the commentary to this verse, that is Ezekiel in chapter 35 and verse 14, when the whole world is rejoicing. What are they rejoicing regarding? The Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, and Messiah setting up his kingdom. That's going to be a time of rejoicing for Israel and the world as well, because the world is not going to see or experience war anymore. It's going to be living in a time of peace on the earth. "I will make you, Esau, most desolate." And so this happens during the tribulation period in the day of the Lord. Well, in the Art Scroll commentary to Ezekiel on this verse, it says that that verse is going to be associated with Messianic times. This is a prophecy about Esau in the end of days and Messianic times, in the day of the Lord or the tribulation period. So the prophecy about Esau in Ezekiel chapter 35 continues into Ezekiel chapter 36, because regarding Esau in Ezekiel 35 verse 12, it says, "And you will know that I am the Lord, and that I've heard all the blasphemies which you've spoken against the mountains of Israel." And biblically, that's Judea, Samaria. The world calls the mountains of Israel the West Bank, and the mountains of Israel extends up and into Jerusalem as well, because Jerusalem's surrounded by mountains. It says, "I've heard all the blasphemies which you've spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying they are laid desolate and they're given to us to consume." In other words, it belongs to us. Ezekiel 36 verses 1 and 2. "Son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." So this is a prophecy to the mountains of Israel, to Judea, Samaria, to the West Bank regarding Esau. And the prophecy is in verse 2, "Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession." So the prophecy is that the enemy, Esau, would say that the mountains of Israel, the West Bank, Judea, Samaria, belongs to him. And that's what's being said today. The people who call themselves the Palestinians, who are really Arabs that live in Israel, that they are making the claim that the West Bank and East Jerusalem should be theirs. In the nations of the world, for the most part, most of the nations are agreeing with them. And so then it goes on to say in Ezekiel 36 verse 5, "Therefore thus says the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy," the fire of his jealousy is when the nations come to divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, where they're going to receive the judgment of the God of Israel, and that's the fire of his jealousy. "I've spoken against the residue of the nations in all Idumea." Idumea is the Greek term for Esau, who has, the verse says, "they've appointed my land," or the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, "for their possession." They want to have a Palestinian state with the joy of all their heart. They don't want to recognize Israel and that land that they would share with Jacob. And they're wanting a Palestinian state in the West Bank with East Jerusalem as its capital, with despiteful minds. In other words, they're not going to be content just with that. They see that all of the present day nation of Israel, that the land that encompasses the present day nation of Israel, that it is theirs. As they call 1948, when Israel declared its independence and they won the War of Independence, the Palestinians refer to the creation of the modern day state of Israel as the catastrophe. And And so they don't just want a state of their own on the mountains of Israel and in Jerusalem. They want all of the land. And so they want to cast it out for a prey, as the prophecy says. And so then in the prophecies, we are told that Judah, that's the Jewish people that are living in the land today, that they are going to be unable to defeat Esau and the claims that he's making. They are unable to defeat Esau until Joseph joins with Judah. And when Joseph unites with Judah, then Esau can be defeated. So this is a principle of this controversy of Zion and how the scriptures say that Jacob, what Jacob needs to do to have the spiritual battle be resolved with Esau. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for a stubble. So in the prophecy it says Esau is going to be a stubble. His desires are going to be burned up. Now, in the Art Scroll Commentary to the Book of Genesis, or Bereshit in Hebrew, page 1314, in commentary to the verse here in Obadiah, that Rabbi Rashi of the Middle Ages, he gives this explanation. When historically Rachel had given birth to Joseph, that Joseph is destined to be an adversary of Esau, meaning the one that would have the power to defeat him. And then there's a quote of Obadiah in chapter 1, verse 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau a straw or a stubble. The fire is Jacob. Jacob without a flame, the flame is Joseph. And it's only through Joseph and his participation with Judah can he be the flame by which Jacob can defeat Esau. And so we see a similar thought expressed in the Art Scroll Commentary to the Book of Ezekiel or Ezekiel on page 546, when it says, according to Bava Basra 123b, Rachel's descendants are the implacable antagonists of Esau. Joseph is to be the flame which will consume the straw, which is Esau. That is because historically, Israel never won a victory over Esau unless its armies contained contingents from Joseph's family. Esau had enjoyed military successes against the historical southern kingdom or Judah. As an example, we can see in 2 Kings chapter 8, but they were unable to be victorious when Joseph and Judah fought together. So in being reminded of the prophecy of the day of the Lord, Joel chapter 1 verse 15, that the nations will divide the land of Israel, Joel chapter 3 and verse 2, and that they will divide the city of Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 14 verse 1, that in the day of the Lord, verse 2, Jerusalem will be divided, half the city will go into captivity, that this designation by the nations to divide Jerusalem has already been made from the United Nations partition plan of 1947. You see, at that time, the General Assembly of the United Nations voted on November the 29th, 1947, that they viewed that the solution between the conflict of the Jews and the Arabs in the region was to divide the land. And in the vote, there were 33 that voted to divide the land to 13 that opposed. Mainly, it was of the 33, the Western Bloc nations against the Muslim and the Asian blocs. 11 nations abstained, including Britain. And this vote that took place on November the 29th, 1947, it was to be implemented at the end of what was governing the area at that time, which was the British Mandate. The British had control over the region from the fall of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, and the implementation of this vote was to take place on May the 14th, 1948. That is why David Ben-Gurion, the first Prime Minister of Israel, declared the independence of the State of Israel on May the 14th, 1948. That was the day that was designated by the United Nations that there would be a Jewish state in the land. Now, as a part of this partitioning plan, it was decided that Jerusalem would be an international city through UN General Assembly Resolution 181. And in Part 3, Section A of UN Resolution 181, the city of Jerusalem was established as a special international national designation that was going to be administered by the United Nations and thus be an international city. And so we have the prophecy then that the leaders of the nation of Israel, they're going to end up making a covenant with death. And a covenant with death is an agreement that is in opposition to the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaiah 28, verses 14 to 15, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you've said, 'We've made a covenant with death, and we have made lies our refuge.'" What's the lie? That you can divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem and have peace, as the advocates of the policy are saying. "And under falsehood," that is, we can reject the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "Under falsehood have we hid ourselves." And so the God of Israel declares, in response to the leaders of Israel making a covenant with death, perhaps we could see historically that the 1993 Oslo Agreement that set up the conditions to ultimately create a Palestinian state, divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, that perhaps we could look back and see that this Oslo Agreement, signed in Washington, D.C. on September the 13th, 1993, with the support of U.S. President Bill Clinton and then Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and the leader of the PLO at the time, Yasser Arafat, that this perhaps is the covenant of death that's being referred to. Now, in contrast to this agreement to divide the land, it says in Isaiah 28, verse 16, what the God of Israel is doing, that he lays in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes will not make haste. So who's that foundation stone that's tried, tested? It is Yeshua the Messiah. Three times in the New Testament, this verse is quoted referring to Yeshua. And he's the rock that you can build your life upon. That's the sure foundation. Even as Yeshua himself declared him being that rock in Matthew in chapter 7 in verses 24 through 27. And biblically, Zion is also defined as believing in the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because when the God of Israel made covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he guaranteed the covenant himself, as we're told in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. "For when God made covenant or promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply thee.'" And so it goes on to say, "For men verily swear by the greater in an oath, for confirmation is an end of all strife or debate about the matter." And so a covenant is the guarantee when you swear by the greater that you are going to fulfill the covenant. And so Yeshua made covenant with Abraham, and this covenant has been tried, tested, and true, that the God of Israel made this covenant, and he's going to fulfill and act upon on his covenant promises. But the dividing of Jerusalem will bring about the judgment of the nations. Zechariah 14, verse 3, "The Lord will fight against the nations as he fought in the day of battle." And the primary judgment upon the nations is outlined in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. "This will be the plague the Lord will smite all the people that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth." In other words, the judgment is chemical, biological, even nuclear warfare. And so this is primarily and centrally how the nations are going to be judged for dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem and opposing the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and opposing the sovereignty of the God of Israel in the earth, and recognize his covenant promises that he made with his people and made with the nation of Israel.
Well, that's going to conclude part 11 of the series on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.